Good morning. It's 8:30. I'll call this meeting to order. We'll start with a roll call. Start with Trish.
Sigoli Swoglite, Trish King, present.
David Jordan, present.
Kirby Matoxin, present.
Yasa Hill.
Brandon Stevens, present.
Daniel Guzman King.
Brandon Stevens, present.
Jenny Webster, present.
All right. Good morning, everyone. We're looking next to adopt the agenda. Yeah, I'll just motion to move a resolution into open when we get to that section. So it doesn't have to be done now.
Okay. Now I'll motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Brandon, seconded by Daniel. Any further questions? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have the oaths of office. We have the Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee, Donna Richmond, and the CIOTS Advisory Board, Catherine LaRock and Kim Reyes.
Is anybody on the screen?
So if Donna, you want to come forward, Trish will administer your oath. We'll wait for them.
We have one person here to get sworn in.
Okay. We're ready? Okay, Kim, if you're ready. Too far. Trish King is doing the swearing in. She's standing further to the left.
Oh, I didn't know that. Good morning anyway.
Good morning. A little further.
Oh, the machine on top.
Yeah, I'm going.
You're getting there. You're getting there. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Good morning.
So there will be a little bit of delay as we listen to the communication from Milwaukee. So just be a little patient. We'll go as slow as we can so you can hear us and we can hear your responses. Okay. To begin, I would ask you to raise your right hand. And then I,
Donna Richmond. Hereby promise to uphold the laws and regulations.
Hereby promise to uphold the laws and the regulations.
Of the Oneida Nation, the General Tribal Council, and the Tribal Constitution.
Of the Oneida Nation, the General Tribal Council, and the Tribal Constitution.
I will perform my duties to best of my ability and on behalf of the Oneida people.
I will perform my duties to the best of my ability and on behalf of the Oneida people.
I will perform my duties to the best of my ability on behalf of the Oneida people.
With honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity.
With honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity.
With honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity.
And will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality.
And will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality.
And will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality.
And will carry out the duties and responsibilities as a member of.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities as a member of the Pardon and Forgiveness Committee.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities. responsibilities as a member of the SEAD's advisory board.
And all recommendations shall be made in the best interest of the United Nations as a whole.
And all recommendations shall be made in the best interest of the United Nations as a whole.
And all recommendations shall be made in the best interest of the United Nations as a whole.
Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you again. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Yelko.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yep. Hey. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Hey,
Kirby. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Donna.
Thank you.
And then I just wanted to, again, thank our community members for participating in our government and being able to participate on the boards, committees, and commissions. They are vital, important aspects of governance and our community input. So thank you. And then also one other announcement I wanted to make. Based upon the recommendations of law enforcement, we will be developing a standard operating procedure to access the Norbert Hills Center, which includes the high school. School and building safety is paramount in protecting the students at the Norbert Hills Center. Part of the SOP will include an employee escorting an individual to and from the main reception area when meetings and employees located at the Norbert Hills Center. Quite frankly, a challenge we are facing is balancing the safety and protection of the students and the community engagement with the business committee. As we work our way through this challenge, we understand we are putting the safety of the students first. Please feel free to call, email, or set up a meeting with me or any of my colleagues to discuss this further. Yonko. So we got the February 28th minutes to be approved. Jenny?
I'll make a motion to approve February 28th, 2018 regular meeting minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Brandon. Discussion? Nancy?
Morning. You can still hear them talking. Even though you can't see them, you can still hear them talking. So,
okay.
Just to let you know. I have a couple of questions regarding the February 28th minutes. And the first one is on page 13. And we're on item C. Adopt resolution entitled Delegation of Purchasing and Sign-Off Authority to the Oneida Youth Leadership Institute. And my only comment about that is that there hasn't been any information given out to anybody regarding what this organization is and what they do. And it looks like they're getting ready to do whatever it is they had planned on doing. But when were you going to let, and how were they going to let the people know that this exists and that they can, I don't know if they can apply or what the intention of it is. So there hasn't been any communication out to the people. The other comment that I want to make is on page 15, and it's under travel requests number 2. And this would be regarding Councilman Guzman King, where it says regional HHS tribal consolation. Is that a typo? Because I know what the word consolation means. Like, is it consultation? I just wanted to make a note of that, because it just didn't look right when I looked at it. I guess I won't comment on all the other travel right now. That's really not going to accomplish anything. My only other question is on page 18, and it's part of the public packet. I've had questions about why people abstain, And sometimes it doesn't make sense, and sometimes it does. Like if a report comes late or there's information missing or you have a conflict of interest. But on all of these reports going all the way down, our secretary has abstained. And she's not here today, so I can't ask her that question directly, but I guess I'm looking for, you know, why would an individual repeatedly, if you're on the business committee, continue to abstain from every single item that's on here?
Okay, Nancy, I was going to answer some of your questions, but as a part of the process, the minutes themselves aren't here to be brought for questioning the content to have another discussion on each one of the items, actually to just approve that they're recorded accurately. So your second question is an appropriate question on the minutes about
spelling error stuff like
and
that,
that but the motion was recorded properly and the action taken was the proper recorded properly. That's what we do here when we approve minutes. It's not to bring up another discussion on the topic. So I just want to let you know that that's normally how minutes are approved when they come back to the meeting, is just to verify that they are correct, and if there's any typos or spelling errors, that we get them corrected before we approve them. And then the third part for the abstention, I do recall she abstained from all the motions being made because she was not present at executive session, so she doesn't know what the discussion was and potentially what the decision was. So rather than voting up or down, she abstained because she was not part of the discussion in executive session.
Okay, and then, you know, I understand what you're saying. I've never, you know, gotten up and commented about this, but normally I come here and get a packet, and it's, you know, try to catch up as fast as you guys are going. But I got a packet yesterday, so I had an opportunity for one of the very first times to read the information ahead of time, which was beneficial. But the only other thing then I want to say is on page 21, where it says defer the Public Works Division first quarter meeting to March 14th, but then I don't see that on this agenda.
It was in the executive session.
Now, whether it was executive or regular, it's not on today's agenda. And then the only other thing it then is a tabled business on page 23, and that is the per capita endowment fund. And I understand that was an executive session because we sat out in the hallway waiting for the meeting to reconvene, I don't know when, a couple weeks ago. And that was February 14th. And I don't understand why the per capita endowments would be going to executive session when you're talking about, you know, everybody's money and what the big secret is. Then my only other question is there was, under new business, one enrollment was approved. And I never saw, you know, where one enrollment was approved. Usually there's I'm not sure what the schedule is, you know, quarterly or twice a year. But so was this a procedural exception or how did this come about? Because, you know, one person getting enrolled, I never heard of that. They usually wait quarterly or until you have so much applications between a certain amount of time and then bring all of them.
Well, again, I'll just kind of state, Nancy, that these are minutes to be approved and ensuring that they're accurate. It's not to have a discussion on the items in the minutes again.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if the motioner and the seconders would agree to amend their motion to state that the spelling correction on Daniel Guzman's travel for consultation, not consolation.
Yes, please.
Okay. Not noted for the motion that the correction in the typo. Any further discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. Next up, we have resolutions. We adopt the resolution entitled Amendment of Resolution Number BC 10-1684A, Responsibility for Tribal Identification Cards.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
What page is that on?
Page 25. Motion has been made, and who made the motion? David, and then seconded by Kirby. Any discussion? Nancy?
Okay, I just have a question why all of a sudden this came forward, the Clear Blue Sky. I know that there are a number of resolutions that have been passed by the Trust Committee, the Business Committee, and General Tribal Council that are not being followed, and one of them is the Disability Fund. And so I didn't know if they were going in chronological order as far as their resolutions and modifying and amending them. But so that was my comment about that. And then there was issues with the tribal credit cards and, you know, straw buying of luxury vehicles, all that whole issue. And so, you know, this took a while for this to come forward, because I'm not sure how many years ago that was, 2 or 3 years ago, where there were tribal IDs, our tribal IDs that were used. And so whatever happened with all of that information, I don't know, but it seems like if there was an issue that it should have been addressed right away. And then on page 30, where it says, although it's like halfway down where it says, although tribal identification cards can only be issued to members of the nation if there is an accurate Oneida tribal roll. So I thought that was a pretty interesting statement. And also, procedures relating to tribal identification cards do not contribute to the maintenance of an accurate and confidential Oneida tribal roll. So those are some pretty interesting statements that were made regarding these tribal ID cards. And then the only other thing I have to say is on page 33, there's no letterhead, there's no date, there's a statement, and it's signed by Susan White, the Director of Enrollments. And, you know, to me, that's an unacceptable document that was accepted with this packet. I realize that this, call it what you want, about a tribal IDs, has been since 1984. So it's good to see that it's coming back, you know, for an update. But once again, on page 30, where I want to comment is the reason for the conflict was identified, and this was from our staff attorney, Robert Collins. So, you know, I'm looking at this, and it's looking like there's some issues with it, and it hasn't been fully vetted. And then also at the same time, what are the precautions and what are the procedures and SOPs put into place when our tribal IDs are used at our retail, to make sure that if someone drops it, loses it, forgets it, because this was discussed, but you can go into some one-stops and the staff changes, and there will be tribal IDs where the public can view those tribal IDs. They've been forgotten, and they're either taped up or they're put somewhere. So obviously, you know, after the last couple, 2-3 years when this incident happened, I guess, you know, somebody needs to let retail know that, you know, if they didn't make any SOPs, they need to make some and they need to be abided by. Because I know I have lost a couple of tribal IDs. It's very alarming, you know, when you think, well, somebody's using your ID. So those are my comments.
All right, thank you, Nancy. Joanne?
The question in regards to the tribal IDs is twofold. One, we're updating these IDs to better comply with other federal and state laws regarding identification requirements so they can be better accepted. The other is we're improving some of the technology regarding those cards so that they can be tracked better and they can be utilized across the organization. However, how an individual maintains their personal identification information is certainly up to them. And if someone wants to misuse or otherwise fraudulently use a tribal ID card, there's nothing in the issuance of it that can stop that. That is an individual's bad acts. The reference to the vehicles, the luxury vehicles, actually had very little to do with the tribal IDs and more to do with someone actually misusing their card to obtain gas receipts or misusing their card to obtain a tax-free vehicle. There was nothing in the card in and of itself that was wrong. The card was accurate and it was properly presented. It was simply misused. Nothing that we can do on our side can protect against that. We've done everything we could to try to make sure that our tribal ID cards are meeting standards that are acceptable. In regards to retail, they do have standard operating procedures. If someone leaves a driver's license or other personal item behind and they're followed consistently by the retail associates, I followed up with retail regarding that when the question first came up several meetings ago, and they explained their process and what they're utilizing. It is very similar to every other retail station, retail entity. You write a check over at Festival Food, you accidentally leave your driver's license behind, you'll get the same process. It's a consistent kind of retail response to a personal identification card left behind.
Kathy?
I'm trying to read through this packet kind of fast here, but I'll do the best I can. On page 30, further down in the last paragraph, or the second to the last paragraph, the second line states, we stop pursuing the adoption of the rule, the recommendation. I believe that's from Mr. Collins. What does that mean? Based on the conclusion, which was a possibility that had been previously identified in our discussions regarding the proposed rule, right, my recommendation is that we stop pursuing the adoption of the rule. What does that mean? It must be funny, huh?
It basically means that once the Legislative Operating Committee and the Trust and Enrollment Committee began working together, they identified that the membership ordinance didn't delegate sufficient responsibility for that regulatory undertaking. And once that was clarified between all the parties, they moved away from the rulemaking and brought it to the Business Committee via a resolution.
Okay, thank you. And on page 31... further down the last with the bullets, it states, requiring the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee to adopt procedures that will secure the manner in which tribal ID cards and certification cards are issued to prevent abuse and misuse, and allowing other tribal entities such as retail to develop procedures to prevent abuse. I'm a little confused with that.
The part of the process that retail was using previously was basically a transfer of a database information that verified that an individual was living on the reservation or off the reservation in regards to the gas exemption. One of them, if you are a tribal member living off the reservation, that's a subsidy by the tribe. If you're a tribal member living on the reservation, that's a refund from the state regarding the gas tax or non-payment of it because it's exempt. So we were, until recently, retail, when this first began implemented, retail was relying on a stamp that was placed on the back of your ID card that had a certain longevity. They changed that to reflect a list and numbers, so a database. And when the negotiation between retail and enrollment allowed that bar to be placed on your ID card, that allowed retail to use their imaging system and keep a constant update regarding the card and whether or not the individual was on or off the reservation. This new system And the new card itself is negotiated between retail and looking at other entities of the tribe so that it can have a broader use and purpose across all of our resources. So it's not simply a manual issue anymore. So it'll be constantly updated based on the database itself.
And is there language in here that would cover, I know in some of the discussions we had over the years with the issue of the one-stops and the tribal IDs, and the employees actually of the one-stops were handing over tribal ID numbers to, my understanding, the individual. Sometimes I see the individual in the Longhorns or wherever, and he looks pretty happy and arrogant, but those cards, tribal ID cards, were obtained through employees. And what's in place to secure the manner in which the tribal IDs are?
Retail has appropriate standard operating procedures in place to address proper use of information received by customers in a transaction. And when those things are identified and specific information is given, they're investigated and they are addressed immediately. In addition, the tribe doesn't currently have any laws regarding its ID cards other than what the membership ordinance might say, this prayer resolution, and other laws that talk about showing your ID card for hunting, for example. And so the consideration at this point is the development of a law that looks at use, misuse, specifically handing out or delivering or selling information regarding another person, and developing that into a law in regards to penalties. Given the advancements of the card, given the uses of the card across the organization, and the changes in which we are relying upon in regards to those cards, it's becoming more important that we have a higher level of treatment, enforcement, in regards to those cards themselves. So that's something that we're beginning the drafting process on and moving forward through the Legislative Operating Committee to avoid that. However, as of this point, the standard operating procedures in the retail environment do address how associates of the retail associates utilize, maintain, and or distribute personally identifiable information from customers.
I was kind of trying to...
Kathy, your time is up. You had 5 minutes. Thank you.
Call for the question.
Call for the question by Jenny Webster. We'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next resolution is entitled FY 2018 Coordinated Tribal Assistance Solicitation Grant. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so we have a resolution that needs to be approved and signed, and we're applying for this Coordinated Tribal Assistance Solicitation Grant. And in that application, there are four departments that will be submitting. The Oneida Police Department, TAP Office, Judiciary, and
the Noonha Alternative School Program. Okay. I don't know what they're called now.
I don't either. So those are the four programs that are going to be applying for funding this year. And this application is due on the 20th of March. And so we are looking for approval of our resolution. And each program is applying for a different dollar amount for different
programming,
equipment, increase and improve services.
Any questions or comments from the committee? A motion will be. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Ernie. Any discussion? Nancy?
When it comes to the Tribal Action Plan Office, are there currently providers within behavioral health that are on this committee?
Yeah, the Tribal Action Plan is coordinated by the Tribal Coordinating Committee, and Mary Kreischer is on that committee.
Tribal Coordinating Committee, is that what you call it?
Yeah, or TCC.
TCC.
Yeah, it's a group of individuals that are from various departments within the organization and some community members also.
Okay, how many people are on this committee?
Like 15 to 17, maybe. I don't know offhand exactly.
Okay. I'm just having a hard time aligning exactly what it is, you know, your purpose and function and the outcome of it all, because we were here a couple weeks ago when the police department gave their quarterly report, and they had some pretty accurate statistics in that report regarding drug and alcohol abuse, arrests, domestic abuse, and gang activity. And I see a lot of stuff. There's a flyer on Ellie's counter down there regarding somebody who's coming for gang activity. Yet, continuously in those quarterly reports from OPD, they're giving zeros, or one person would possibly be related to gang activity. So I'm not seeing the correlation. And so, you know, I'm seeing that there's, you know, three different amounts that can be applied for, and I'm just looking for, you know, what is it exactly that this grant money is going to be used for. I see that OPD, you know, is going to be purchasing you know, body cameras and also in squad cameras, and I believe we need those. You know, we've needed those since the Tammy Baldwin incident up here, and you know, a couple of other incidences where, you know, someone has exhibited some behaviors that, you know, were questionable, and unfortunately, you know, our elders. But so I'm looking forward to that. You know, all the radar systems, we know where that's going. But when it comes to the TAP office, it says, you know, enhance the capacity to collect and analyze, and then there's another typo, data to better understand and define the priority crime and public safety issues and to support successful implementation of the strategic plan. You know, and over again, we've heard, you know, about strategic plans and implementation and collaboration. But at the end of the day, what is the outcome of it, and how do you evaluate that? And so those are my questions.
All right, thank you for your questions and comments, Nancy. Does anybody have any responses?
Sure, I'll respond.
Danny?
Nancy, thank you for your questions. The TAP, or the committee, the TCC, has been working diligently for the last year on the opioid epidemic that we have, and the heroin epidemic, and I'm a part of that committee, and as are a number of other committee members here, and we meet on a regular basis. There's, I'm not sure how many subcommittees of that, too, that are addressing certain topics within the plan. And the TCC, they need more resources. They need a place to meet and to work from, out of, and that's what the office is going to be for. And it's a place where community members can come and ask those questions regarding what's happening, what the tribe is doing on a daily basis, and addressing the issues. So that's what the office is going to be utilized for. So it'll be money well spent.
So you're setting up an office to do this?
Yes.
Ernie?
I just want to add, Nancy, that if you're interested, these meetings are held every third Thursday at the LPD conference room. There'll be one tomorrow. They're all held from 2 to 3:30, so there'll be one tomorrow afternoon. So if you're interested in attending that, we do encourage community members to, you know, get active in that group as well.
They are a part of the team.
Any questions or comments from the committee? All right, Kathy?
So this is just a grant, right?
Correct.
And the deadline is?
20th.
We're not at the 11th hour again, are we?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was wondering... well, one of my last questions when I was up here before is about enforcement. So is this where, in these grants, when you're writing for these monies and you're looking at all these issues, are you looking at and thinking about enforcement? Because one of my questions, and I know there's been many, many conversations on this floor over the years, is about enforcement. I mean, we talk about people doing wrong things and stuff like that, but where's the enforcement of things? That's usually what I look for. And I wonder, is this one of the places where you start looking at the language? I mean, you're asking for money to do something about issues.
There's three different departments looking at this. Obviously, the TAP office and the OPD and the judiciary. So there's three different aspects. I think there's many, many different areas that this CTAS grant offers, but... it's up to the individual programs to review these grants and see where they can justify going after these grants and where they're at in their implementation of their department plans.
And I'm a little confused here today because over the years I've always questioned every now and then about grants, you know, about the grants department and are they writing enough, are they trying to apply for enough grants? And I've been told over the years that's not their job. They assist other departments and stuff to apply for grants. So I'm kind of curious why OPD's not here. I mean, if they're doing the grant, this setting here is kind of confusing again because the people that are applying for the grant, one instance I'm told, oh, the grants department doesn't do the grants. Each department does the grants. The grants department only assists to guide them. You know, so it's a little confusing for me right now with the grants department.
All right. Thank you for your comments, Kathy. Any more questions or comments on the resolution? Is there a motion on the table? Seeing no more questions, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next resolution is the resolution entitled Delegated Authority to the Oneida Public Transit Manager for Federal and State Grant Funding. George.
Good morning. Asking for the committee's support around this resolution, it'll help us position so that we can, once again, apply for state funding. We have not applied for state funding for transit out of this particular pot of money for about 2 years. We had been applying up to that point. We made a switch to federal funding, which is currently what our budget is supported by. We have an interest, again, to reapply for these funds, but we've been out of compliance, unbeknownst to us. And so we have 14 items on our corrective action plan to bring us back into compliance so that we would be eligible for applying for funds once again. And this is one of those items.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Brandon. Discussion. Nancy?
Okay, you said there's 14 items that we were in non-compliance with, and so how long is it? You haven't applied for any money for 2 years, and so this is one of the ways to come back into compliance?
Yes.
Okay, correct. And then the other 13 items have been corrected?
Yes.
And looked at?
And they're more procedural. Like, we had to have an SOP with accounting geared around procurement process, and so we worked. So this is all the items were more procedural things, and then this was to give indication and support to the grantor that the legislature, the business committee was aware that we're doing business with them.
Okay, so you have a resolution to apply for this grant money, but it doesn't say how much the grant is.
Oh, we're not actually applying right now. We're just clearing our slate to apply.
Just setting the designation to the proper management person.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for not waiting till the 11th hour.
Sure. You're welcome.
Any further questions on the resolution? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. The next resolution is entitled Amending Resolution BC 0927-17-I, Strategic Workforce Planning Budget Implementation for Oneida Nation. Joanne.
The business committee requested this resolution be adopted. The September 17th resolution set forth budget implementation planning for the Oneida Nation. It identified the long-term planning requirement of developing strategic workforce plans, which take months and years to develop, and then there's a constant maintenance. It aligns the organization with the strategic goals and directions of the tribe itself and assist in identifying specifically employment-related needs and key strategic positions. It also adopted the midterm goal of creating workforce-level assessments. And those workforce-level assessments were intended to identify what we have, what we're doing, what best practices are, and if there are changes we need to do to consolidate, improve, or otherwise modify existing programs to meet needs of the membership. And last but not least, recognizing the financial constraints that this tribe has been under, along with all other entities, it placed a full-time equivalent cap on the number of employees of the tribe. That full-time equivalent cap was based on some financial analysis that identified long-term carrying costs of an employee. So year to year, we can budget for employees that we have on payroll today, but next year those costs differ because of fringe benefits, because of merit increases, COLAs, et cetera. So to that extent, an FTE across many years simply increases in amount. So we're attempting to address this short-term issue of our employment base, utilizing all three of those areas. We recognize that when putting the FTE cap in place, that it did not equal the number of employees, FTEs, that are in the budget. There was about a 200, 300 employee difference. And the initial goal was to take that FTE number and focus attention on our employment processes and needs so that we would use that as a progression to getting workforce levels and strategic workforce planning in place. Over time, during the course of this fiscal year, what we found is that, yes, it did focus that need, but it had unintended consequences. And so the business committee, after several meetings, determined that amendments to that September 17 resolutions was needed to more fully comprehensively address this employment basis of the tribe. So the focus now is more on the budgeting process and those workforce level plannings, as well as strategic workforce planning processes, to get that awareness on the long-term impact of employment and the programming that we have in place to make sure that we're focused on the areas that need to be focused on and we're not just providing services. So this proposed resolution has three amendments in it. One, the calculation by how full-time equivalent is calculated is amended to remove students from the number being calculated. This changes the number by about six. It basically, students are short-term. They're an annual issue. They don't have year-over-year full-time and regular employment impact on the tribe's budget. So that group of employees of the tribe is removed from the calculation. The other thing that occurred was the FTEs in the original resolution was a lump sum, $2,700. In this proposed resolution being presented to the business committee, FTEs are allocated across the organization by division. And so there's a cap placed on the number of employees that can be hired by the Governmental Services Division. And it is based on both the budget as well as the amount of FTEs total calculated within the budget. And last but not least, we increased it from 2,700 to the 2,900 number to recognize what was in the budget. So this resolution attempts to adjust the full-time equivalent issue to better address the needs of the organization. And hopefully when the next fiscal year's strategic planning implementation resolution is put into place, this will be clearer and we will begin to start actually addressing that long-term need of the number of employees that this organization is able to carry year over year over year and not from budget year to budget year. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Questions or comments from the committee? Nancy?
Okay. Well, you know, usually when you bring a resolution forward, your ducks are all in a row and you're not bringing it back 6 months later to change it again. I was real upset when I read all of this because, you know, it wasn't too long ago that, you know, we were being told we have 6 weeks worth of payroll in savings. And if something were to happen, you know, that was the amount that we could carry. And now you're looking at increasing the employment base. And I've talked about this, you know, for many years and many times about prioritizing. There are jobs right now that are posted that are absolutely useless. And, you know, just because someone leaves or retires does not mean that that's an automatic post that job. And I think there needs to be a coordination somewhere with, I don't know if it's you guys, we don't have a general manager, but HRD pretty much does whatever they do. And, you know, there's a job in the arts board, there's a job in tourism, you know, how does those jobs fit within the priority when there were 6 positions at Elderly Services that remained, you know, under the freeze that couldn't be filled? And now, you know, I'm hearing many months later that they're just now doing the interviews. So I think there is a misinterpretation. You know, I've seen departments under this strategic work force development strategy changing everything. For instance, DPW, you know, was picked up and put under the development division for 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden they were picked up and put back. Under what justification? You know, and whose plan? And whose plan is it that they go back? And why? I think those are the really important issues that seriously need to be looked at. And when you're looking at what are the caps in all of these departments, I believe, you know, there are some that, you know, absolutely are essential services, But then when you're looking under other areas here, you know, it's top heavy, you know, and I thought we were, you know, supposed to be trimming the fat, and, you know, some people are living high off the hog and all that, and you're saying, you know, 6 months ago that we can't afford our employees because the indirect costs, the insurance, all of those things are one of the most expensive items within our budget, our employees. And so now you're adding to that employee base when 6 months ago you said there was, you know, a freeze, we're going to get a better assessment on everything, and then now you're adding, you know, 200 more employees. It's just seriously is upsetting. It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, you can go ahead and approve all the resolutions you want, but you never know what GTC is going to do at the budget. So this is, you know, I'm just baffled by why it's coming back. And, you know, you guys are the leaders. I was hoping that, you know, you would prioritize what is it that the priority should be. And it doesn't look like that's happening. It just looks like, well, we're just going to increase the employee base and increase the budget, and it just doesn't make sense.
Actually, the resolution has no impact whatsoever on the budget itself that was approved by the General Tribal Council for this fiscal year. The change in this numbers doesn't increase the employee base. The change in this number identifies or reflects the number of employees that were approved in the budget as far as full-time equivalents, which is not a body, it's a number of hours. So the resolution itself reflects what was in the budget. The intent of the business committee when the first resolution was presented and in this resolution is to bring recognition to the fact that business as usual is not an option. And it's to bring clarification to the presentations made by the chief financial officer that we can budget every year for the number of employees we have. We don't have a problem doing that. We're going to cut land acquisition. We're going to cut infrastructure maintenance. We're going to cut development. We're going to cut business diversification and development, all of those things, so that we can continue with the number of employees that we have. That doesn't solve the problem because those cuts to all of those other areas hinders our ability to maintain our resources and to grow in the future. So the business committee, looking at that, has attempted to address this problem over many years, and it isn't an easy problem to address. It is something that, looking at every employee in this nation, has a value to the nation and has a value to the program that they're presenting. And trying to decide how one employee versus another employee is brought forward is very technical and very specific, that every division director or every direct report at this point is now being asked to look at very carefully. So hopefully, the goal of the original resolution was to change that mindset. It had some impact. This resolution reflects some of the problems that arose and is addressing that mindset. There was no employment freeze that the tribe put in place. There was an employment cap, meaning we had reached that number or very close to reaching that number, and we were attempting to address it. It wasn't working because of the way that we had budgeted long-term. That includes grants, not just other programming or retail or business activities. And so we needed to give it a little more time to be impactful over the long-term. So what we've done in the first half of this fiscal year is now being addressed, and it will be further addressed in the budgeting processes as we move forward, recognizing the push for workforce level assessments, recognizing the directive to develop strategic workforce plans, and recognizing that this is the second, third year that the business committee has put in place a strategic goal and vision that the organization is required to align to.
Trish.
Thank you, Joanne. I appreciate the overview. It's very clear and succinct. I think part of the problem that we deal with is really being able to connect the dots. So although this may appear that we're redoing or revising a resolution only 6 months later or whatever the time frame may be, the actual initiative is because we've been able to take the time to assess what the first resolution did. So the first resolution got us started. This is a second resolution as a next iteration, if you will. So each one of these processes that we installed, such as the SWP, was a form of measurement. And in that form of measurement, there are several levels, several resolutions, several administrative procedures, several departments that all have to come together and understand how they're going to fit or design their programs so that they're bringing out those measurements, so that we can tell the people, this is the measurement, this is what is the expectation for the outcome is, and here's how it's going to benefit the people. So when we go back into the budget process, that gives us that criteria and the support, and the budget process also allows the people to have input on those things, the next steps moving forward. So this is one step to the beginning of the next step. And it is confusing, and it's very time-consuming, and this is what we would expect from a general manager to actually carry us through these kinds of things. And so I want to appreciate the finance and the law office and the HRD for really helping bring us into this position. As we do these strategic workforce planning, they have to justify those positions and validate why a position is being made and why a position is here, or is it just something that we've been doing forever and ever and ever? And are we getting the outcome that we expected? Obviously, there's not satisfaction. So my first 3 years and the beginning of this year is continuance, is really taking that measurement seriously and forcing procedures that will help us move into the next iteration. The outcome is to provide a better service, a better outcome for the people, and do that cost efficiently and effectively. So there's a lot of work that's being done in this, and I want to make sure that that there's that miscommunication on what we're trying to accomplish, because it's been consistent for several years. And as I've always stated, connecting the dots and giving out the message to the people is always, if you're not in it every single day, even as we're in it every day, we miss spots. So in our attempt to do the best that we can and protect the funds for the nation, improve the quality of life for the people, improve the services, all of that stuff, all of these administrative procedures are being created. So with that, I did introduce this overview to the budget team meeting. What day was it? Last
Friday.
Friday or Monday? I don't know what day we're in, but so they are aware that they were being introduced to it, and that we gave a pretty good, Joanne gave a pretty good overview at that point. Questions and answers were made at that point, and we expect to have more questions and answers as we move forward. The measurement to make sure that this is done is constant assessment. And we also have new forms for our budget system that will be helping us identify what our long-term goals are, short-term and current or immediate goals. So that process is being developed. And as we spend millions of hours on this, I think the outcome is well worth the time, the effort, and all the people that are putting into it. So I appreciate the work that's being done and the frustrations that we all go through, because it's hard to remember those things, but also to know that there is a system being in place and we're trying to track it as we're developing it, and we're also looking forward. So with that, I would make a motion to adopt the resolution entitled Amending Resolution BC 92717I, Strategic Workforce Planning Budget Implementation for Oneida Nation. Thank you.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Trish, seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Kathy?
Wow, you've worked millions of hours on this. I did not know that. I wouldn't be able to tell by the paperwork here. You made a general manager position then. I was wondering, is this from an old resolution? Because it has on page 48 at the bottom, it has the resolution was implemented and notice of the FTE numbers were presented to the organization management to allow the division directors, general manager, chief counsel, and chief financial officer to plan accordingly in a cooperative manner to remain under the FTE cap and still meet the needs of the programming clients. So you created a general manager position. You made one. The general manager is stated right in here on the bottom of the page.
It's not a general manager. It's
and
the general
you also
management.
Stated that would ha- you brought up the general manager and
I did yes I'm stating that
in your little
if
speech.
The general manager was working for the tribe that this would be one of the expectations that they would carry out.
And on page 49, on the bottom of the second B, oh no, it says be it further resolved. There's a whole list of gaming operations and security and such, and on the very bottom, it says non-divisional GTC, and it has 203 full-time employees. I didn't know that either. This is the first time I'm hearing this. So you're going to increase the 203 full-time employees for GTC? I mean, I'd like to know who they all are. And why is GTC even in the list?
If you look at page 57 of your materials, you'll see the description of that group is in the lower left-hand corner. And just as FYI, thank you for catching that. It should be gaming general manager in the resolution. So the GTC non-divisional group is made up of various boards, committees, and commissions of the tribe.
GTC non-divisional.
Is that a correction in the resolution?
It should be corrected. It should say gaming general manager.
It needs to be corrected. So. Okay. And one of my first questions was going to be, what is FTE? Because I don't see no explanation in the agenda item. I mean, the request form. I mean, I circled my paper all over because a lot of these request forms don't have very much information like they used to have. I know in past BC people have done pretty good in putting information in there.
Yes. If you look at pages 53 and 54 and I think 55 of your materials, you'll find the previous resolution which defines full-time equivalents. Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I had another question, too. I'm wasting my 5 minutes, I guess. Oh, on page 51. This resolution also makes a policy statement resolving that the OBC believes that increasing the FTE cap is not in the long-term best interest of the nation. What does that mean?
It's a true statement. The full-time equivalent cap of 2,700 that was originally set by the business committee has been something that the chief financial officer has talked about for many, many budget periods. And his recommendation is that the nation can financially support only so many employees because of the impact that every employee has on the organization itself. Not year within a budget, because within a budget we can always balance it, as we have shown time and time again. But a balanced budget this year is an unbalanced budget in subsequent years, because the cost of insurance goes up, the cost of utilities goes up, the cost of all these things go up, and all of those are calculated based on an employee basis. So each one of those years thereafter is unbalanced, and we have to cut something else to make that balance. So the goal is recognizing that our finances can only afford so much in regards to the number of employees that we have on a year-over-year-over-year basis. So that's the position that the business committee has heard. And they agree with that position financially. We can only afford X amount of employees, we still want to deliver the programs and services of the tribe. And so we're working towards that aligning the organization, programs, services, business, and enterprises to be able to continue to provide those services in a more efficient and effective manner, and specifically by collaboration across the organization so that we can look at the number of employees we have in a realistic fashion instead of, I've budgeted for this many employees, I should be able to hire them. Well, you should be able to, and I can afford to have them in place today, but I can't afford them next year, and I can't afford them 3 years from now in the direction that the financial aspects of the tribe are going and how much we're setting aside for employees.
I have one last question. On page 49, the fourth paragraph down, are the first, now therefore be resolved. What does this mean? It says, is amended to exclude the following categories of employees, and it looks like all young people. I mean, summer workers, JTPA, TANF, high school workers, college, summer youth and college. You're getting rid of all those jobs, or what does that mean?
The employee base of the tribe is made up of any number of types of employees, full, part, long-term, short-term, regular employees, etc. When you're calculating the FTE, as we've defined it in the previous resolution and are moving forward with this resolution, we're not looking at this budget year's impact. We're looking at down the road. So an employee today is going to be an employee tomorrow. That particular group of employees is defined by the Human Resources Department don't have an impact on tomorrow because they're short-term employees. They're only here for a short period of time in an educational learning mentoring position, a learning spot. And so none of those positions have a long-term impact on the budget. Was determined that they shouldn't count towards the FTE. We're not changing their employment relationship, their employment levels, or how they get employed. We're simply saying because FTE is focused on long-term impact, it should only include those positions within the tribe that impact the budget on a long-term basis.
All right, thank you, Joanne, for the explanation. Any questions or comments? I just make one suggestion for the motioner and a seconder to include in their motion the correction on page 48 of the packet in the last whereas to insert gaming general manager, gaming in front of the general manager.
And the effective date, which was on the next page.
Is that a typo?
Page 50.
Yes, it's a typo.
I'm just curious because Trish brought up general manager too.
And then to also include the changing of the date to December of 18?
No, it's on page 50 of your materials. It's page 3 of 3. It's an effective date.
That be today's date?
Today's date.
They're ready to implement this as soon as you say a date. So today's date would be okay.
So a motioner and a seconder agree to those changes, or we want to make adding gaming in front of the general manager and then changing the effective date or adding in the effective date of today?
Trish and Daniel?
I don't know how to state it, but I would support approving the resolution with the identified changes of the general manager identification and adding today's date into the resolution.
Second degree? Aye. All right, motion or second degree, okay. So noted then. Nancy?
Okay, I just wanted to mention that we can hardly hear Trish, so if you could please speak up, I'd appreciate it. And then that was my concern also on page 51. You know, if you have a legislative office and a legal department and they come up with a recommendation, and that's on page 51, resolving that the OBC believes that increasing the full-time employment cap is not in the long term best interests of the nation. You know, that's pretty alarming. And so, you know, are you going to come back in 6 months with this, you know, changed once again? And looking at all of this, you know, when per capita comes to GTC, you know, there'll be 20 reasons why we don't have enough money to pay or an increase because of this and this and this and this. But this resolution makes it look like we got money coming out of our ears. And, you know, you're saying to, you know, the elders and to GTC, we don't have enough money for this and we don't have enough money for that. And you capped it 6 months ago and now you're increasing it. So this doesn't look good. And good luck.
All right. Thank you for your comments, Nancy. Any further discussion on the motion to adopt the resolution?
Call for the question.
The question has been called for, so we'll vote. All those in favor of adopting the resolution titled Amending Resolution BC 092717I, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There were no objections. Everyone agreed.
So next up for standing committees, we have the Finance Committee to approve the March 5th, 2018 Finance Committee meeting minutes.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Support.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by David. Discussion. Nancy?
Okay, I'm always looking for consistency and, you know, level playing field for everyone. So when I read this, on item number 12, I'm not sure what the Great Mother Conference is, but it looks like, you know, one person got 150 and then two of her sons each got 500. But it was really hard to, you know, determine. There were three family members and, you know, for a total of $1,150. So I just wanted to mention that. And then, you know, I'm aware that there were circumstances where people were told this was a one-time, you know, finance committee request and you couldn't come back, but then a certain individual was allowed to come back and get additional funding. And then on page 63, how unfortunate that an individual is coming forward to request $40 for moccasin making for the arts program, and that goes back to those discussions that we had at GTC. And so that's all I wanted to say about that.
Thank you for your comments, Nancy. Any further discussion on the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Just a point of clarification, the current policy, when a person comes back, the amount is the amount per person is $500. So up to, they have that amount that they're eligible up to for 1 year, up to $500. So they can come back as many times as until they reach that $500. So that's part of the policy, and I just want it clear that that's not so that it doesn't get spun or that they can come back more than once.
Nancy?
I just want to clarify. I'm not talking about an individual. I'm talking about the organizations that give themselves a name and do something in the community. I'm talking about the White Corn Project and all of the separate little community garden projects that went on. I'm aware that an individual came and got assistance through the Finance Committee to assist with a community garden and then was told that this is a one-time, you know, like a startup to, you know, to get equipment or do whatever it is. And so, and then another individual with a different project came back and got additional funding. So I'm always looking for level playing field. You know, whether it was she got a grant, you know, that needed to be matched or whatever it is. But when you consistently see the same people applying in all these different avenues all over the tribe to get funding, it raises, you know,
some red flags. So that's what I want to say about that.
Questions or comments? Okay, Kathy?
Yeah, I was wondering about the white corn project, too, that was getting a couple of instances, several different times had gotten money. And I've been looking for white corn. Raw white corn is very scarce in our community, and that's our hereditary, you know, substance. And it's really hard to find. And we have little brown bags with Seneca, I believe, either Seneca or Mohawk corn. And I got some of it, and I tried to make it twice, and it's...
Kathy, what's your question? It's just no good. It's just no good.
Well,
finance committee.
If somebody's getting money from the finance committee to braid white corn, then how do we go through? Do we go through the finance committee to request that white corn? Because it was to the community. How do we go about getting white corn from somebody that gets financed through the finance committee? Is that it must come from the community then, right? I mean, it's community fund. So I'm looking for white corn. I want to access white corn. And I'm hearing out there to scuttlebutt that, you know, it depends on who you are and who you know to get to know the lady with the white corn who gets the money from the finance committee. And if it's a community finance, does the community have an opportunity to go through this entity? And I don't know if it's out of... environmental, if it's out of her position. I mean, I want a piece of land just like she got. I want to plant corn just like she was allowed to, and then I want to get money to braid it. I mean, I'm interested, and I'm looking for a way to go about finding out these answers. And I know already I can't even ask for it from that entity because I'm not welcome there. So if there's a community fund going on, and they're helping, you know, somebody plant white corn, I would like the same and equal opportunity, such as the Constitution says we're all entitled to. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Kathy. There is a motion on the table. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have the Legislative Operating Committee. That's to accept the February 21st, 2018 meeting minutes.
So moved. Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing Nancy?
I wanted to ask why the criminal code was removed from the active files list. And that's on page 69, and that was a motion by Jenny. Seems like if you have something, or, well, it's under administrative updates also, but it seems like if you have a item on the active files list, I know that items are reprioritized from low, medium, and high, and I've seen, you know, depending on who's here and what their issues are, they can be moved from low to high and high to low and completely and totally moved off of the LOC. So,
Jenny?
And that's exactly what we did. We were reevaluating. There were some members that wanted some of their issues put up to high, so we had to readjust, and that was one of them that came off.
Okay.
Any further discussion on the minutes?
Does this include the business committee meeting law under this report, or is that separate?
That's next.
Next.
Oh.
Seeing no more discussion on the minutes, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, as we have accept the Oneida Business Committee meeting law 6-month review.
So moved.
Is there a second? Motion by David, seconded by Jenny. Discussion? Nancy?
Okay. I know that in the past, for those of you who weren't up here the last term, this was a really volatile environment. And a lot of people, we have a lot of elders who are snowbirds, and they leave for the winter. So this is, you know, low-key right now, but they come back. And depending on the issue and the environment, it can get, you know, pretty intense up here, and it has. And so that's the reason for creating this law, just to give you, you know, who haven't been here. And I requested many years ago that a security guard be placed in this room, just because of some of the behaviors when people who work in certain departments come up here, and there's been some really interesting situations and some behaviors that, you know, we're conducting business. It's important business. And so that's why this was created. But then when it became how many minutes you can talk, and, you know, I believe staying on the agenda, we can all go off into, you know, off the agenda. But staying on the agenda, but preventing people from discussing was a big concern of mine. And, you know, it's, you know, bordering on some power and control issues. And so, you know, reducing the amount of time that these meetings last, depending on what's on the agenda and the issues. I've seen where these meetings can go all the way up until 6 and 7 at night and continue until the next day, depending on the business. And it doesn't look like, you know, the meeting time has reduced that much. In the past, we've been made to not be allowed to discuss anything because there was a large agenda. And now the direct reports have been put on a separate day and agenda. And I think that was deliberate in order to keep the general membership from asking the questions and holding them accountable, which they weren't used to. So that was very offensive to them. And they are the ones that came to the business committee and asked that they report on a different day because they weren't happy with the questions and the issues that were being discussed regarding their area that they oversee. So how unfortunate, you know, that people have to run up here on two separate days in order to hear where all our money's going. I haven't watched the video, but I can imagine. And so I just had a comment on page 77 that says the data indicates that the OBC feels that this process isn't working. And so, you know, there's time limits, and then, you know, you're reevaluating them, and then are you going to, you know, when the snowbirds come back, go back to the 3 and 5 minute time limit? Let's see. The other comment is on the bottom underneath the summary where it says the Oneida Business Committee and their support staff. I find that very interesting that, you know, they were included in all of this because they were a part of some of the inappropriate and unprofessional behaviors that went on in the back of this room. And so, you know, their input is being evaluated and valued, but then, you know, the people who need to say something isn't. And then the very last line where it says, number two, the public comment process is not working as intended. What does that mean?
What page is that on?
I'm on page 77. Under public comment, where it says the data indicates that the OBC feels that this process isn't working. Then under the summary, it gives the OBC and the support staff have expressed that the meetings have improved since July of 2017. And then the public comment process is not working as intended. I don't understand what that means.
Clarissa?
What that means is the evaluation process has shown that
the BC has stated that the way the law is currently written allows for a speaker to comment one time at the beginning of an agenda item before any reporting or discussion on that agenda item has taken place. 6 months after using this, we have found that that isn't the most efficient way to allow individuals to give public comment, and it's been expressed that that portion of the public comment isn't well-liked and that the chairs of the meeting would like to provide community members that come to the meeting more opportunity to provide comment, and they have been not fully in accordance with the law to allow for that opportunity. On the other hand, the evaluation showed that the 5-minute time limit has been found to be efficient and help focus the comments that are occurring. So some of the public comment period has been going very well, and there's other portions that have been suggested to be amended in the future.
Like what kind of amendments?
To reflect the practice to allow community members more opportunity to provide comment, not just at the beginning of agenda item, before you've heard the report or before you've heard the discussion.
So you can come back up twice?
Potentially. right now it says that the chairs have been treating additional motions on the topic as a new agenda item, affording speakers another opportunity. So there have been chances afforded to speakers to come up again. It was suggested that in the future, if the law is amended, that that can be reflected into the law.
Any more questions or comments?
I can't even say it.
Yeah,
I just want to say I disagree with the 5-minute thing and the 3-minute thing. It's, to me, it's just a process that's being implemented for dictatorship. And I hear that time and time again from other people that I talk to, elders, young people. It's coming from all the generations. And I've been coming up here for quite a few years. And there was times when we had very good discussions, and there was very open people. There was very honest people. There, we did have those times. We're lacking in that area very badly. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Kathy. David?
There is an option in the law that provides you to have extended time. It would be voted on by the business committee if the business committee felt that it was important dialogue that you could actually vote on. I believe it happened a couple times for you, Nancy, where you actually extended your time.
Yeah, when it takes 6 or 7 minutes and I don't throw myself on the floor. Thank you.
Any more questions or comments on the report? Is there a motion on the floor to accept the report?
We did that already.
Yeah. Okay.
Call for the question.
Question has been called for by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Can you call for the question?
David. Thank you. So next up, we're moving to unfinished business. Accept the Land Commission FY18 first quarter report.
Mr. Chair.
Trish.
I motion to approve the report, for the third quarter report from the Land Commission.
The first quarter report.
I'm sorry, first quarter. I was looking at the number 3 on here.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David. Discussion, Nancy.
Am I missing something, or is this the report on page 79 and that's it?
Page 79.
That's it.
Yeah, there's a template that the boards, committees, and commissions follow for their reporting.
How come no one's here?
No one's required to be here. Just their report has to be submitted to the business committee.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. But my question was under promoting positive community relations. It says develop land use policy to better serve the needs of the membership, focusing on individual farmers, entrepreneurs, and community organizations. So there is no land use policy. They're just now going to develop it, but there's already been community organizations, entrepreneurs, and farmers using our land without a policy.
So are these the policy developers, or does that go back to the program?
Land Commission is delegated the responsibility to oversee and distribute land in the real property law.
Okay, so I get confused because there's entities. Okay, there's the Land Commission, the Land Office, and then the LUTU too. And I was hoping they were here today because I have some issues and concerns about the LUTU and the LUTU too. So there's two different levels. I don't know if they're all on the same, you know, committee or if it hits one level and goes to another, but I think we have a real serious issue with a bottleneck because we can budget the money, buy the land, make all the priorities, and then when it gets to them, something doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen right. And my example is looking for two alternative cemetery sites when that issue came up. They brought, you know, two pieces of garbage land that they were going to throw to the people for alternative cemetery sites, and we waited for 6 months for that report. And so something isn't, you know, jiving right, and I don't know how to fix it, and I'm not going to try, but I'm going to let the business committee know that after you do all of these things and you got all these people in place and it gets to a certain place, then it's bottlenecked and held up. And to find out who's on those, you know, committees and the designation of land, and then, you know, It seriously just does not make sense when it's shipped over to Little Bear and then held up and they make the final decision about what's going to be used for agriculture and all that. So that's my comment.
All right. Thank you for your comment. Kathy?
Is this the place you go to get a piece of land to grow white corn?
Yes, that's where you would go.
So this is where I would
submit
start.
A request, yes.
Okay.
Any further discussions on the first quarter report from Land Commission?
Call for the question.
Question has been called for. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have the approve the deputization agreement between Oneida Nation and Outagamie County. Rich.
So this deputization agreement between the nation and the county is the only changes. It's consistent with our last deputization agreement. The only thing that was changed was Chairman Hill's name was put onto it, and the mailing address was changed, or the P.O. Box 365 was added to the notification process. Otherwise, it's the same. We're just looking for signatures to update it to reflect the current chair.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Brandon. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
There's another one.
Okay. Okay, Brown County.
The same thing with that. The only thing that was changed was the Chairman Hill's name was added along with the P.O. Box 365.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Jenny. Discussion? Kathy?
Does any of this go back to the question that came up in GTC? With regards to, I know there were instances where I talked to individuals that said when Oneida police got there, they said, oh, this isn't tribal land, well, we can't be here, and left. I know there's a story of a kid that broke his arm, and they said they couldn't help him because they weren't tribal members, and they left. They had to wait for somebody else to come. Is that covering all that? I mean, I'm sure you must understand our recognize what I'm talking about because it came up in a GTC meeting about the letter that went out to the community about the services that were going to be provided by Outagamie and by OPD.
Okay, you just asked two questions. The one about a medical, or I'll talk in general. So I'm not sure what specific incident you're referring to for the broken arm. But I can tell you that we do have concurrent jurisdiction. So if we get there, we'll provide aid to whomever until the EMS gets there. It doesn't sound, what you're referring to doesn't sound like it is accurate, but I don't know that the specifics on that is. I can speak in general that that doesn't seem like something that would happen. The second part about the letter that was sent out, that simply has to do with dispatching. Has nothing to do with the concurrent jurisdiction.
That's just a dispatching issue?
Yes.
Okay.
And that has since been addressed.
Oh, it has been addressed?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions on the agreement? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is travel requests. We got to approve travel requests for Secretary Summers to the Tribal Caucus and Intertribal Justice Council meeting in Wisconsin Dells, March 21st and 22nd, 2018.
So moved.
Second. What page are you on?
113.
Oh, what happened to the Brown County?
We just did Brown and Outagame counties.
Oh, we did them together?
Or two? No, not together. We did them separately.
95, right?
95. Page 95. David, you made the motion? And who was the second? And Kirby seconded. Okay. Any discussion on the travel? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is enter e-poll results into the record in accordance with the Oneida Business Committee Standard Operating Procedure entitled Conducting Electronic Voting, and is to approve the travel request for Treasurer Trish King to the 11th Annual Tribal Casino and Hotel Development Conference in Temecula, California, March 25th through the 28th, 2018.
Motion to enter the record.
Motion by David, seconded by Jenny. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up on our agenda is General Tribal Council. We have item A to schedule the 2018 semi-annual GTC meeting. David?
Make a motion to choose Tuesday, July 10th, 2018.
Second.
6 p.m.
Motion by David, seconded by Jenny. Discussion? Nancy?
I want to comment on the mailing for GTC. You know, GTC gets blamed for costing so much money, and it does. You know, we cost a lot of money. But the booklets and the reports, the last report that came out was on cardboard paper. And there are a lot of pages in there that were wasted. It was, you know, pictures of birch trees and longhouses. And in the mail out for the GTC meeting on Monday night, to me, there's a lot of wasted space. You know, there's cartoons and the little funny, you know, mailman running and all that. It's a waste. It's a waste of paper, ink, time, postage. You know, myself, I've said it before, I'm looking for data and statistics and reports and all of those things that we can use as a measure. So, you know, in the future, you know, I'm going to say that, you know, whoever puts that packet together, that they put the information that the people are looking for in there. And I also have an issue with using photographs of minor children, because my grandchildren have been in a number of GTC packets without the permission of their mothers. And so they're having an issue with it. You know, my grandkids aren't, but their mothers are, saying no one asked us for permission to print our children's pictures in, you know, a packet that goes out to, you know, however many people. And I know that, you know, with other issues, for instance, if you're publishing in a magazine or a book, you have to get those parents' permission. So I'm going to make, you know, a point of that and a point of all the wasted room in those packets, including the cardboard paper that was mailed out with the January or February meeting, and that, you know, we're looking for, you know, pertinent information, not, you know, cartoons and pictures and photographs. And we talked about it once before. You know, we want to see pictures of gas pumps and who runs the, you know, a certain area. We know what they look like. So, you know, that the business committee, when those packets come forward, that the reports, there are parts in the reports where I've seen an elder take a magnifying glass to read, you know, a graph or a display of, you know, the rotation of how they think, you know, something works. So, you know, I'm looking for clear, accurate, big print for our elders and information that's pertinent, not all the cartoons and jokes and useless information. Yes, Brandon?
I got a question.
You don't have that one to call
in. Specifically for you, you know, we talked about this last time when we had a last annual meeting about how the GTC wants presentations and how they would like it. And so you're going to find, you ask 1,400 different people, you get 1,400 different responses. And so the difficulty we have is how to present. And so what types of information isn't in there? Sometimes you don't know what you don't know until you see it not in there. And so that's the difficulty we have, is what kind of information that isn't there. And so how to get there through a process to say, all right, if there's something not in there to the annual, we'll put it in there for the semi-annual and vice versa. And so how do we start getting that information, or at least getting that from the GTC about what's missing?
You know, if you picked up that packet, like you're reading it for the very first time, you know, and then you have a half a page where people are trying to align themselves in the four directions and, you know, advancing your principles and all that, we get that. You know, you've done that. What I guess I'm looking for is, you know, what are the grants that you've gotten? What is it that you're doing with our money? You know, if you're in charge of six areas under one division, and then you list everything that you're in charge of, but you don't tell GTC what you're doing with, you know, $15 million, what are the grants? What are the, you know, short-term and long-term? You know, we get people up here that say, well, I'll just go over a couple of our highlights, you know, for the quarter, and then the next quarter comes and there's a couple little highlights. It's not evaluating what the programs are function. You know, I guess, you know, where I'm looking for, if you have $15 million and six or seven divisions under you, of course you're not going to be able to report that on one page. But then when you turn the page, then there's photographs. And it's like, well, you could have used those two pages to identify briefly what it is you're doing, the grants that you're getting, what are your long and short-term goals and accomplishments. And then, you know, people can read through the lines to know if you're accomplishing anything or not. Because then if you're in charge and everything's, you know, a mess, we're going to know that. And so I, you know, Madeline wanted to call it propaganda. I was calling it the sugar-coated semi, you know, report, because it's like there's nothing to show for, you know, what a half a billion dollars is being spent on. So I'm looking for, you know, you can ask, you're right, all different people. I'm looking at more of the technical information. You know, if you go to, I'll use Schneider and Somerville and those kind of companies, when they do a semi-annual and annual report, you aren't going to get copies of their kids in there. You're going to get financial information, what they accomplished, where they're going, with a timeline. So when we get these reports, it's kind of like, you know, kids, cutesy, funny, funny, but I don't think it's funny. You know, there's important business that's going on in divisions and programs and entities that the people need to know about. So I would encourage the business committee, when the draft comes,
you know, pick it up like you're looking at it for the first time. I know that, you know, some of you have read hundreds of them over the years, and it's kind of like, you know, look at it, but I'm looking for better and more, and not the video.
Any further comments on, actually the discussion is supposed to be on setting of the date for the semi-annual GTC meeting.
What page is that on?
Starts on 113.
I don't even have 113.
Wouldn't be in the open session pack because it's GTC related.
Oh, then I have this one. That's this one.
Page 113. Or it's on 114.
And David's motion was to select July 10th at 6 p.m.
Birthday.
That's the motion on the table. So any more discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is to approve two actions regarding the fiscal year 2019 budget. Trish?
At the last business committee meeting, I presented a resolution requesting an extension to the time frames that were identified in the Budget Management and Control Act because we were falling behind and the procedures weren't created yet to implement the plan. So I asked for an extension, and that was granted through the resolution, and then the business committee asked that I come back with a transition plan on how to implement moving forward the Budget Management and Control Act. So the process that I included in here is to accept the triennial strategic plan concept and forward to the business committee work meetings to assign tasks needed to complete the overall initiative. There are several parts and pieces that I explained earlier that are administrative, so we need to make preliminary decisions, finalize those decisions, and process them accordingly. And then to approve December 9th as the General Tribal Council budget meeting date, which would allow us, based on a backward schedule time, to do community meetings, another community meeting prior to developing the budget, then setting those priorities based on that commentary, and then implementing the process throughout the organization. The expectations are identified in here along with the areas that are responsible to help us kick this off. And Intergovernmental Affairs will be taking on the communication component for all of the events and the messaging for the membership so that there's understanding of our goal and opportunity. The Chief Financial Officer and the Chief Counsel will draft resolutions regarding this triennial strategic plan, utilizing the value-based budget process for the July semiannual. This is an introduction to General Tribal Council in July in regards to how we want to process the three-year planning or three-year spending plan for from the business committee. As that process gets introduced, we will also be working on legislation for the General Tribal Council so that you have an annual meeting and your annual presentation. You have the input from the membership, and then you have 2 years planning. So in essence, in the beginning of the year, the calendar year, the General Tribal Council will be approving a three-year plan from the business committee. There's parts and pieces to each one of these. This is to carry us over into a transition so that we can implement communication to the membership so that we do have three-year planning. So we're looking ahead instead of looking backwards. And I think that's really what people are trying to ask us to do, is to look forward, make some plans, put the proper funding where those priorities have been identified, measure it every year, assess, evaluate, implement change if necessary, and then you start all over again. So with a three-year plan, you have better opportunity as the organization to accomplish those goals that are set out. You have the direction from the General Tribal Council to help you get those priorities set. And then we have a process of procedures that we will be implementing after this transition happens. So this is the first step of that, getting that all organized and coordinated so that we have the proper staff identified to create the priority of implementing the budget on a three-year spending plan and complying with the budget management and control law. So there are some, as we look through and assess our laws, which we've been trying to do, there will probably be some changes next year. But for this year, we're just trying to get into compliance, and we needed extra time. So the December 9th would be the approval for the budget meeting, for the annual budget meeting. But there are several dates in between there where we will be introducing to General Tribal Council. Start out for fiscal year 19, we'll start off with the kickoff in May, and then we go through our processes. And then in July, we will introduce a triennial spending plan and how we would work that through the General Tribal Council. Then we will also have to approve a continuing resolution because we'll be having a meeting in September to further discuss with General Tribal Council and to identify what has been done and how it can work. And then with their support, if they support that, then we would defer the annual budget for fiscal year 19 with proposed fiscal year 20 and 21 to December 9th. There's considerable change, and we've been working it. We finally been all gotten to a point where we can identify our goal of making change for General Tribal Council so that they're helping us and working with us in setting priorities. And then we can categorize items that are important to the membership and place them in the appropriate budget. That way, when things are starting for that particular budget, we've got all of the documentation, we've got all of the input, and we've got the direction from the General Tribal Council, and things can actually get done versus waiting 10, 15 years to implement something.
All right. Thank you, Trish, for the overview on the requested actions. Nancy?
I have some comments and some concerns and issues regarding the quality of life survey. And the last time that survey was done, there were households within this reservation that didn't get that survey. And so, you know, I brought this forward before that was not an accurate measure to go by, because they said it was one survey per household. And for anybody, you know, who knows how we as Oneida people are, there are sometimes several households living within one household. And all of those adults in that house did not have the opportunity to fill this survey out. So I don't believe that it's an accurate measure to use, because we're not using all of General Tribal Council either. We're not using all 17,000 people. There's a targeted population that's been, targeted, one per household. So I'm not going to accept that, you know, that's an accurate measure. There's also some other kind of survey going out from the Sustain Oneida, and some kind of a demographics study And I haven't seen it, but, you know, I saw the notice that, you know, we're going to hire somebody else to do the demographics of our people. I don't know if that's that same non-Indian person that's publishing that book, but why would you do a certain or a separate survey? And I'm always worried about the accuracy of all of that data. Right here, with prioritizing the process, once again, you know, I thought that as our elected leaders, that you guys amongst yourselves would prioritize, you know, what you felt was important. And it looks like, you know, this is a list. I don't know if it's prioritizing from, you know, 1 to 14 in that order, or if this is just a combination of all of that. I'm going to talk about those budget meetings that went on in the past, and I went to some of them, and the budget wasn't there. I went in like, okay, where's the budget? And there was no budget. Planners and architects and engineers and all the people that work at Little Bear were there with these kind of big charts on easels for the plans for Central Oneida. There was a picture of the high school. There was a picture of a big skywalk going from here to nowhere. And all these plans, but nobody knew anything about the budget. And so I was real disappointed. You know, I was looking at where's the numbers, where's the, you know, all you know, we all have our little pet projects, and making sure that, you know, the people who were important to me were going to be taken care of instead of cut out of the budget. And then I went over to another one where HRD was there and everybody was giving away prizes and food, and nobody knew anything about the budget. It was, you know, somebody won an iPad and you could get backpacks and notebooks of paper. And then when I asked certain booths and individuals there, well, where's your budget? You know, they just blew me off and walked away and thought it was cute and funny, but I didn't. I was there to look at the budget. So I'm going to, you know, comment on that I think there's a better process. You know, if you're going to have budget kickoff and budget meetings and we're talking about the budget, then the budget should be there and not all that other kind of stuff. So that's what I'll be looking for.
Kathy?
I have two packets here, and they're the same. I just want to comment to that first. Everything that's in here, all these colored pictures are in here, too. We had a bunch of colored pictures in here, the same. You know, this is the members only, and this is, and it's just a replay. But I'm looking at this Office of the Treasurer memorandum, and I'm looking at the expectations. You got like eight numbers there with expectations, and they're all on somebody else. You know, everybody else has to develop and implement and draft and write statements of effects and coordinate. It's like, why do we have a treasurer? Because there's so many people here that are doing all of these things, you know. Intergovernmental affairs and communication to provide results of the quality of life. Intergovernmental affairs and communication to develop and implement a communication plan, strategic tool. Oh, the treasurer's kickoff. So it's like, I don't understand this. All these other people have to do all of these different things and their expectations. That's my comment.
Thank you for your comments, Kathy. Joanne?
Thank you. I just wanted to reflect on the use of surveys by this organization, specifically the Quality of Life Survey. The Quality of Life Survey isn't intended to affect and get the opinion of every member of the Oneida Nation. It's intended to get be a sample of the opinions of those members living within the reservation, not all of them, a sample. And so utilizing statistical tools and methodologies, it's got a plus or minus accuracy rate based on the amount of returns it receives and the questions that it asks and are responded to. So no, it isn't an accurate. It is as best we can within the available resources that we have. So to that extent, the tribe surveys on any number of things across the year. I believe the quality of life survey is in every other year in which the sample is chosen and sent out, and it's validated based on statistical analysis of the sufficient number of returns. But it's not the only survey that goes out, and utilizing the information across all of those surveys, so long as they're reliable and valid, is helpful in identifying an opinion or a direction or a position of a group of people that are likely to be representative of the whole. I will bring back to Melissa Newthall's the question about the validity of this survey based on the household makeup and whether or not the quality of life actually accounts for that and addresses that issue in the questions and in the selection process. But it is a good question.
All right, thank you, Joanne. Some two requested actions that need to be addressed.
Mr. Chair.
Trish.
One of the items I want to make clear is that this is a transition plan, so that the reason I'm bringing it here is because I prefer the support of the business committee, and they've been very helpful in helping me move through these processes. The General Tribal Council gave me the directive to continue working on matters and issues in which the General Tribal Council is informed and can help process with the budget. So it lies on all of us, but we have to have that staff to do that. We can't do it on our own. Those are not my duties and responsibilities. That's why we have staff. And I just want to make it clear so that we have the direction that's in here is supported by the business committee. And again, I did introduce this to them and told them I would be bringing it here for formal acceptance. And then the most important thing is approving the December 9th as the General Tribal Council meeting date. I understand that if there's two dates that the General Tribal Council will be looking at the proposed plan for fiscal year 19, 20, and 21. That is in July and is the introduction, and again in September. In September, we're looking at two possible days where the presentations are given versus the roundtable where people are coming in. So it'll be a little bit more on a presentation side, but I'm leaving that to the communications department to help us define how it's going to be shown. And then that way there's more opportunity for the member to actually understand how much is in a budget, how much is being expended, how much the outcome is effective, so on and so forth, and what the plans are moving forward, what the goals are. So this is, like I stated, this is the very first step of the whole process.
All right, so the requested action is to accept the triennial strategic plan concept and forward to the Oneida Business Committee work meeting to assign tasks needed to complete the overall initiative.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second requested action is to approve the December 9, 2018 as the General Tribal Council budget meeting date.
Motion to approve.
Support.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Trish. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you, everybody.
And that concludes our open session portion of the meeting. So next is to take the executive session items. accept the Chief Counsel report. Dated March 13th. I think there was several other requested actions inside of the report.
No, I did submit a summary of the verbal report for your record so that it's included, dated March 13th.
David?
I make a motion to accept the Chief Counsel report dated March 13, 2018.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose, abstentions, motion carries. And there was
another one.
David?
Approve the Cherokee Nation Common Interest Agreement, file number 2018-0291.
Support.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose, abstentions, motion carries. Next up is the land claim strategy. There was a suggested motion to accept the land claims update and the recommendations number 1 through 5 included in the update, noting that the discussion and consideration of item 1A be included in the action plan.
So moved. Support.
Motion by Jenny, supported by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose, abstentions, motion carries. Under unfinished business, we have to accept the closeout report regarding complaint 2017-DR11-01. The suggested motion is to defer the closeout report regarding the complaint number 2017-DR11-01 until April 25th, regular One-Item Business Committee meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second. Just so moved would be the motion because I read it.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, motion carries. Next on the agenda is to accept the Community Economic Development Division FY18 first quarter executive report.
So moved.
Motion has been made by Kirby, David, and seconded by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose, abstentions, motion carries.
Is it Chair?
Trish.
Can we just note for the record that that was a verbal update?
Yeah, note for the record of accepting the verbal report. Ernie?
Just to add to that, it's a verbal report, but it was also makeup from the report he submitted that he had to miss for personal reasons, and he had submitted an actual report.
Next up is to accept the Public Works Division FY18 first quarter executive report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose, abstentions, motion carries. Jenny abstains. Under new business was review complaint number 2018-DR 11-01. The suggested motion is to assign Vice Chairman Brandon Stevens, Treasurer Trish King, Councilman Ernie Stevens to investigate complaint 2018-DR11-01.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, motion carries. The next item is to adopt the resolution. Oh, we got to move this resolution into open session. The resolution entitled Revenue Allocation Plan for Fiscal Year 2018 needs to be moved into open session.
Move, Mr. Chair.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose, abstentions, motion carries. now is to take action on approving the adopting the resolution entitled Revenue Allocation Plan for Fiscal Year 2018.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Second.
A motion by Trish, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is to review Employee Services Building Staff Relocation Report. The suggested motion, accept the Employee Service Building Staff Relocation Report.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There was a subsequent request to support recommendation number one in the relocation report and forward to Environmental Health, Safety, and Land Division Director.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to review the Thornberry Creek Adonida operational position and determine next steps regarding the operational capital contribution request. And the suggested motion to approve a loan to the Oneida Gulf Enterprise Corporation in the amount of $235,000 and for finance to draw up the loan instrument, which will include a subsequent sequence of draws as noted, and to direct the Oneida Business Committee officers to follow up with the Community and Economic Development Division Director on the development of a request for proposals as noted.
So moved.
Is there support? Motion by Kirby, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up is to approve the Family Court Judge Robert Collins, the second judge contract file number 2018-0256. The suggested motion, approve the Family Court Judge Robert Collins, the second judge contract file number 2018-0256.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, to accept the update regarding the agricultural system structure project. The suggested motion, accept the update regarding the agricultural system structure project.
No move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. With one abstention, Jenny. The additional requested action is to approve the recommendation of a cross-divisional transfer of the Junhequa Farm and OSIF's coordinator from the Internal Services Division to the Environmental Health, Safety, and Land Division. That cross-divisional transfer be effective immediately, and that the cross-divisional transfer be on an interim basis while the agricultural system structure is being worked on and until a final agricultural system structure is implemented.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have to accept the due diligence report regarding the innovative technologies supply and approve the recommendations. The suggested motion is accept the due diligence report dated March 6, 2018. Regarding the innovative technologies supply, approve the recommendation included in the due diligence report and direct that the Community and Economic Development Division Director to respond to the proposal.
So moved.
Is there a second? Motion by Kirby, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to review the U.S. DOT Partnership Agreement File 2018-0267. Suggested motion to accept the draft February 2018 version of the Partnership Agreement and direct that the final version be brought back to the Oneida Business Committee no later than April 11th, 2018.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up was the review of complaint 2018-DR04-01. Suggested motion to assign Vice Chairman Brian Stevens, Councilman David Jordan, and Ernie Stevens to investigate the complaint number 2018-DR04-01.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to review complaint number 2018-DR09-01. The suggested motion is to defer the complaint number 2018-DR09-061 to the March 14th, 2018 Oneida Business Committee meeting.
So moved.
Is there support? Motion by David, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Abstentions? Motion carries. Follow-up motion is to direct the finance to come back to the March 14th Oneida Business Committee meeting with a report on the land mortgage fund to include the current authorities and recommended remedy.
So moved.
Oh,
question today's.
Yeah. This would have to be, the date has to be different. Today's March 14th. So it was to the next meeting, was it? Okay, so the motion should direct finance come back on March 20th on a business committee meeting with a report on the land mortgage fund and to include the current authorities and a recommended remedy.
So moved.
It would be March 28th.
28th? March 28th.
Second.
A motion by Jenny, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. And we're going to have to clean up the previous action from the motion. Would also have to defer that to the March 28th meeting.
Motion to correct the date of the first motion of the deferral from March 14th to March 28th.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. And that concludes our agenda today. So
motion to adjourn at 10:47.
Motion by David.
Second.
Seconded by Trish to adjourn at 10:47. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.